read all the way, almost all the way through Acts 3. So it says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us, and he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and enter the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though our own power or piety have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. Okay, let's just stop there. That covers about everything I want to talk about. We're at Acts 3 again. And I just want to go, you know, clear through this almost and just talk about what's really happening. And the first thing I really noticed was verse 6. I'm going to jump around a little bit inside of this, but verse 6, let's read it again. It said, that's when the guy looks at Peter and looks at John, and Peter says, I have no silver and I have no gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that answer is just... it makes me jealous, you know, for my heart and our hearts to be able to have that sunk in us so deeply, you know, that I have nothing to give to you. I don't have money. I don't have, you know, any kind of anything else really to offer you, but what I do have is Jesus. I mean, that was their reaction like that, and I just know that's not in my heart, you know. Maybe I can think about it and eventually get there, but it's not sunk into my heart that all I have is Jesus to give. And that's so I'm jealous for that, but these guys had such an amazing, incredible, perfect answer that was so simple, just on the, you know, just like that. And it's just so true. I mean, if that answer was in our heart for everything, me and Katie just had a guy come up to us in Wichita and was broke and asked us for money, and we only carry credit cards, so we didn't have anything to give. But so that was my answer. Sorry, I only have credit cards. I don't have any money. Sorry. You know, send him on his way. And, of course, you don't leave those, and you're like, what a missed opportunity. Peter and John would have said, I don't have any money to give to you. What I do have is Jesus, you know. And it's just I'm missing that. And so I just wanted to point that out, that was so key to everything they did from this point on, as that seemed to be in the depths of their heart, that all they had was Jesus. They didn't have anything else to give. Their talents were meaningless. What they thought they had in life was meaningless. They had nothing to give but Jesus. I just want to look at the rest of this, just because I've talked about this the last few weeks. It's kind of been my theme, is that we can kind of come up with strategies, and we try to look for how did this happen, what led up to this happen, and I want to see people healed. I want to know what's all the key elements that happened here, you know, and is there a list of key elements that even happened that lead up to a healing like this? So I'm going to highlight some things, then we're going to talk about what all that means. But I got to start out right before chapter 3, just what even led up to this. And that's, if you remember, the end of chapter 2, what they're doing is they're together and they're of one accord and they're praying and they're laying down their lives and they're giving away everything they have. But mostly they're in just deep fellowship together. They're listening to teachings from one another, and they're praying. And so, of course, I got to point out that prayer was essential before this even happened. That, you know, all this stuff led up to them being in the right place. But prayer before was really, really key. And the same thing actually happens in the next chapter, chapter 4. You don't even have to turn there. But they say one of the famous prayers in the book of Acts. It says, "Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal. Do signs and wonders that are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And then again, right after that. So they're praying. They're asking for healings to happen and for boldness. They go on a little bit, and right after that, again, we see healings. We see people dragging lame and possessed people into the streets just so the disciples can walk by and pray for them, and it says they're all getting healed. And so prayer beforehand is just so essential. I just can't stress that enough. To me, that's the biggest, if there is any kind of key, that's the biggest thing, just that they were praying for these things to happen beforehand. Yeah.
I got a question.
Yeah. I have that point in here. That's a great point. So, okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to get there. So, Sean, that's a really good point. It's one of my main points here. But just to look at what else was happening here, as we went through the rest of the story, we have the prayer beforehand. We also have the fact that I think is pretty important, that it actually produced praise in this guy. The guy wasn't just like, okay, and went on his way. He goes in the temple and leaping and shouting for joy, and he's praising God, specifically praising God for what happened to him. Three, it produced testimony to others because everyone recognizes this guy. Like Sean said, they've all passed by him 100 times before, and they recognize this guy. They realize what happened, and they came up to Peter and John asking what happened, and it allows Peter and John a chance. Peter jumps on it and preaches Jesus to these guys because of this testimony. So, again, here's another thing. This specific healing produces more than just the guy getting healed. It produced a testimony and a chance for these guys to preach Christ to multitudes. It also, and if we would have finished this story, Peter's still preaching. He actually gets cut off, and these guys get arrested because people are angry at the preaching of Jesus. They get drugged before other people, higher up people, and again, what happens? They preach Jesus. So, preach Jesus to these people. It opens the door for more preaching of Jesus to more people, and they even specifically ask the question, "By what name are you doing this?" In which Peter says, of course, Jesus' name. It's in Jesus' name alone that these things are happening. So Jesus is getting so much credit and testimony and glory. And actually, they want to arrest and punish these guys, but they can't do it because the people are praising God so much, they're scared of what the people would do. That's what chapter 4 is about. And so all this glory is going to Jesus because of this one man's healing. And so you wonder, you know, why sometimes, you know, is there a healing here? There's not here. Why? And I don't have answers, but I know, man, there's a lot of fruit that came from this one thing. And God, in his sovereignty and his wisdom, he knew exactly what was going to happen at this time. And for whatever reason, he waited for this specific day, for these specific two guys to be there, and for the right crowd of people to be in the temple. And God just knows what he's doing. And that's all I can really say. I can look and find a lot of reasons why, but I can't make a book that these reasons all have to be there, right? So yeah, God was just so sovereign about this. And I just love the point that Sean made, that this guy was 40 years old, okay? At least 40 years old. And he'd been lame from birth, and it really hints that he's been here for a long time. These guys are taking him to the gate of the temple where all the religious people are going in and out of every day, okay? And he's laying there begging every day. And so not only did the disciples pass him every day back and forth, and I'm sure they've seen him before, but also Jesus. Jesus had to have come across this guy multiple times. And in all of God's sovereignty and wisdom, you know, he allowed Jesus to pass by. He allowed Peter and John to pass by, disciples to pass by, because he wanted this specific moment. And that's amazing to me. And I try to search through this, and I'm like, what was so different? How did they recognize? Why all of a sudden? Why all of a sudden do these same guys who've passed him 100 times all of a sudden want to heal this guy? And what I've decided, because it says specifically in verse 16, 3:16 says, "And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and that faith, and the faith that is through Jesus," okay, hear that again, "the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all." So what healed that guy? Jesus. It was the name of Jesus. And what specifically? It was faith in the name of Jesus. And where did that faith come from? That faith came from Jesus. It says it right here. Okay? So you got to see this difference. That we don't just stir up faith. Faith isn't like something we can just work so hard and fight like crazy to believe. And just faith comes from Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith, right? He's the author of it. He writes it. He writes it on your heart. He makes it and he perfects it. And sometimes, according to 1 Peter, he allows various trials so that it'd be refined, so your faith would be refined. He's working like a gardener on your faith. And sometimes, just in his and by grace, he drops in and downloads you like an extra portion of faith in moments like these. In moments when you would normally walk by the guy, you know, when Peter and John in their flesh would walk by the guy, he intervenes by giving them faith all of a sudden. And they turn and look at him. And if you notice what it says? It says they directed their gaze at him. So you see that? Instead of walking by, God intervenes because he wants this done at this moment. And I don't think it was a command. I don't think it's anything different than what we have. I think it was just maybe a urging deep inside. You should pray for this guy. They turn their gaze at him. Something about it just gets their attention. You know, it wasn't some huge deal. But they're gazing at him. And it doesn't flat out say this, but I really think what they're doing is like they're just staring at him because they're realizing the Holy Spirit's doing something. And they're getting faith from Jesus. You know, extra faith from Jesus. I mean, that's the only way you can walk by a guy that many times, then all of a sudden say, "In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." I mean, it wasn't just like I pray for this guy to get healed, you know, and maybe. It was a get up, walk. And then they come and lift up this guy who's been crippled from birth, and he walks. I mean, that's faith, and that's faith that can only come from God. And so faith still comes by hearing, okay? And hearing from the Word of God, that's where it comes from. So if you're in these little fights about how to have more faith, don't focus so much on that. Go to Jesus who's giving you faith, okay? And so, but yeah, I really wanted to make that point that there is such a difference there. And faith is just, faith is it. It's faith, and they gave that glory to that several times. It's faith in the name of Jesus. Can't really say this. I said this probably 3 or 4 weeks in a row when I've taught, but I can't, again, as much as I want to, write out a list of everything that has to happen. I can't necessarily say that prayer had to happen before, as much as I want to. I think it helped, okay? But I can't say it had to. I can't say that there had to be a guy that would have had a thankful heart from it. I can't say that there had to be testimony. Because really, God in his grace at any time could bring a healing even if people weren't thankful. And even if people weren't praying. And if, you know, there's no list of steps. There's one step. It's faith in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, I really agree with that. So you're just saying the prayer is more about you getting in tune with the Lord more than Yeah, so that's a great point. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. So, amen. I agree with all that. So again, I say there's one real step. There's a lot of other things that certainly help, and I agree that to get to that one step, there needs to be prayer. You know, prayer gets you to that one thing. Prayer gets you to that place. Fellowship gets you to that place of having faith in Jesus. Giving up your life gets you to that place of having faith alone in Jesus. But that's the step, faith in the name of Jesus. And did you see the theme? That the theme is more than just Jesus, it's the name of Jesus. How was he healed? I mean, he says it. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. How was he healed? It's by his name, by faith in his name. It's from the faith that comes through Jesus. When they arrest him and ask him, what name are you doing this in? We're doing it in Jesus' name. It's there's something about going and praying and doing all these things in Jesus' name. Okay, the name has a real big, that's the theme of this chapter, I think. It's over and over and over. And so, you remember John 14? It says it a couple times, stuff like this, but John 14, 13, you remember this? Where Jesus says, it's right after he says, you'll do even greater works than I did. In 13, he says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. I think there's another one in John 16. Yeah, John 16, 24 says, until now, you have asked nothing in my name, and ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So he, you got to think of it like this. He gave us his name. That was a gift to us because he died on the cross. He was allowed. He was allowed to hand to us. Look, he's like, use this when you go to my Father. Don't go from your own reputation. Don't bring to God anything you can offer him. I'm giving you my name to use. That's so powerful, okay? And it can't be something we just tack on to the end of the prayer. That's got to be like, everything I'm asking you, God, is based on the fact that I have Jesus' name that I'm going to you with. That's how we really get our faith focused in prayer. I mean, that's in that alone. So, wrote some things. What does it mean to go in his name? I just wrote that really what it means to go in someone's name is it's more than just like his name is a magic word. It's not that, okay? It's not that if I just say in Jesus' name, it means that I'm going, the name represents the whole character, okay? If I go in the name of Sean, it's not just that Sean's name is magic, it's that Sean, everything that, you know, we know about Sean is represented in his name. Everything I think about him, my reaction to what I know about him, you know, his character, his life, his history, it's all tied to his name. And that's what it means when we go in Jesus' name, okay? We're taking everything he's done, his whole testimony, everything he's done on the cross, what he did for us, his love, everything about him is wrapped up in one word, Jesus. That's his name. You see how powerful that is? Everything about him. And so when I go in Jesus' name and I pray to God, really what I'm doing is I'm laying aside Levi, okay? Because I have nothing in Levi to give. I can't go in Levi's name to the Father because if you look at Isaiah 59, it says, your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. I mean, that's what happens when I go in Levi's name. My sins have separated me from God, okay? And I don't have anything that God is going to, you know, just celebrate, you know, and, yeah, I'll do that for Levi. That's not it. It's that I go in Jesus' name, okay? So when I go in Jesus' name, I lay down my name. I lay down everything I have to offer and give and my reputation, and good or bad, okay? Sometimes we think good things, like, God, I did this for you, you know, do this for me. I got to lay down all that good. And sometimes, like, God, I did this bad stuff, you know, and I don't think he's going to hear me. And I got to lay that aside, too. I got to lay down everything about my name, and I got to go in his name because he gave it to me to use. Okay, that's why I said, that's why I stressed at the very beginning of this how important it is that we realize that we have nothing to give in ourselves. Okay, if I want to fully go in Jesus' name, I got to completely lay aside everything about me. And that's got to have that in the depths of my heart that I have nothing but Jesus. He gave me Jesus. You gave me Jesus' name. You gave it to use. You gave it to ask. I can go in his name. I can do everything in his name. That's actually the command. Colossians 3:17. Last verse I'll have you turn to. But yeah, Colossians 3:17 should be in the depths of every one of our hearts. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything. Okay, there's nothing, no getting around that. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. No getting around that. That's, okay. So he gave it to me to use in everything I do. That should be the theme of every one of our lives, whether I'm working or praising God or teaching or scrubbing floors or whatever I do in raising kids, I'm doing in the name of Jesus. Now, what power can I really expect if his name is left out of it? That's the most powerful thing he gave me. And I just had this, I just had this opportunity to go do like this ministry deal, and it would have been a continual thing, and it was cool, you know? It was, I think, helpful. Because of some political things, we couldn't do it in Jesus' name. It was just kind of like Jesus' teachings packaged in a thing that wasn't, but we couldn't use his name. And I really think that's there's some good stuff that comes from that. I'm definitely not going to argue that. But my check about that was just this. It's just like I'm praying about it, and it's like I might be able to do some good things for some people. But how much time do I have on this earth, and how much do I want to do some good things, and how much do I want to glorify his name, you know? And I know this is a tough issue to think through, but that's, I from all this, that's what I get, that's what I drew from this, is that I've got to go in Jesus' name, or my power is down here, you know? Compared to what it would be in going in his name. I have a command that whatever I do, to do in Jesus' name. And if I can't bring his name, I really don't think I have anything to give. And so, just really want to dump that on you guys. Just, again, stressing the fact that, man, it's got to be in his name. His name is so powerful. The answer to our prayers often depend, just as simple as that, on the right use of his name, you know? If I'm praying, and let's just finish with this, but I mentioned this. Prayer, so often, like, I feel like, man, I'm praying according to the Holy Spirit, you know, but because it's so common, the end of my prayer is in Jesus' name, amen, and that's like the part that I tune out on. And really, I think the words of my prayer are the least important thing, maybe, and the in Jesus' name, that's the most important part, you know, that's the part where I'm really thinking through this, like, am I really going to the Father in Jesus' name right here, you know, or am I just begging, or am I just, just kind of vaguely hoping for him to answer this thing I'm asking him for, or is it really like, man, I'm going to you in Jesus' name. Is my faith really there? So that's such a huge deal. I mean, I tell you every week, I try to think of how to make this practical. And that really, this is the most practical, you know, doing things in his name and praying in his name, and not just letting in Jesus' name being the thing you tack on at the end. In Jesus' name is the most important part. So I'm doing this thing now where I'm starting my prayers, and I'm trying to pray, and my first part is in Jesus' name, and then I stop, okay? And I'm just going to think about this for a little bit. I'm going to meditate on I'm going to God in his son's name, okay? And every hope I have on him answering this prayer is based on the fact that Jesus died, and he's the mediator, and he's between us, and God is hearing, when I'm saying these prayers, he's hearing everything about his son, you know, he's seeing everything about his son inside of that prayer, you know, he's not just seeing a beggar now, he's seeing, this is going to glorify my son, that's what this prayer is about, he's coming in his son, or he's coming in my son's name, so I encourage you to just take a little time and do that and see if your prayer life evolves a little bit. Pray in Jesus' name and stop and meditate and let that sink in and get your faith directed and then go from there. Start in the right place in your prayers. You know, don't just let it be the end. Start from a place of I'm going because of your Son and because of what He did. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for His name. We thank You for the gift of His name given to us. We go to You in His name. We just bring to You nothing other than Jesus dying on the cross for us, making a way for us to enter boldly and to talk to You. We ask that You would enliven each one of our hearts to glorify Your Son. And we ask that You would fill us with the Holy Spirit to glorify Your Son. And we pray for us to be testimonies and ministers of the gospel this week because and for Your Son. We thank You for Jesus. We look to Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Pray You'd bless the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, in Your Son's name. Amen.